loves us. And we've been journeying for a few months through a book in the Bible called Exodus. And Exodus is the second book in the Bible. It's right after Genesis. And the book is named after the Exodus, which is the story of the Israelites being brought out of their slavery from Egypt and delivered from Egyptian bondage and oppression and their journey to what the Bible calls the Promised Land. And the Exodus is kind of the central event in the Old Testament, the times before Jesus. And it's the defining story in the history of Israel, and it's actually the most referenced story in all the Bible. So probably more than any other story in the Old Testament, it really reveals to us God's character and who he is and what he's like, for it is his greatest act of salvation. So we've been studying the story of the Israelites' deliverance from Egypt while also reflecting through that on what God has done for us through Jesus, who is the ultimate fulfillment of this Exodus story and is actually the leader now of a new Exodus of God's people, delivering us from sin and into eternal life with him. And so we're at the point in the story where Israel has been set free from being slaves in Egypt. And Pharaoh and the Israelites have sent them away, basically said, get out of here. And the Lord is leading the Israelites to their destination, the Promised Land, so that they can worship him in freedom. But curiously, the Lord, who is leading them with a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night, has led them to the banks of an impassable sea. And in chapter 14, where we are now, the Lord tells them to encamp by the sea. And that's usually a pretty bad move because it leaves you trapped from any enemies. But the Lord tells them to do this so that the Egyptians will think that the Israelites are confused and they will come after them to take them back to Egypt. So here comes Pharaoh, who has changed his mind about letting the Israelites go. And he's coming with over 600 chariots marching toward the Israelites, who are hemmed in by the sea. And rightly so, it says the Israelites began to be terrified. And they cry out to Moses and say, "What have you done? Have you brought us here just to die?" So what will God do? Well, that's where we pick up our story in chapter 14, verses 13 through 30, as shown through this famous movie clip, which might bring back some nostalgic memories if you grew up watching this. And I just saw that it was on last night, as it often is around Easter. But here's where the story then picks up.
The Lord of hosts will do battle for us. Behold his mighty hand. The blast of his nostrils. Lead them through the midst of the waters. His will be done.
He opens the waters before them, and he bars our way with fire. Let us go from this place. Men cannot fight against a god.
Better to die in battle with a god than live in shame.
Raise God and down into it!
Off they go into the sea. Pretty good technology for 1963 or whatever it is, right? I mean, not bad. It was a groundbreaking movie at the time. So that's where we are in this story. And this morning I want to focus on what the Lord does and says here, which reveals what kind of God he is. And I want to namely focus on three things. He is a God that will fight for us. He is a God that will protect us. And he is a God ultimately that will save us. And that same God is even more fully revealed through the cross and resurrection of Jesus. And so, as my title this morning suggests, we'll parallel Easter and the Exodus this morning, which will lead us to the final question, how will we respond to this God? So I want to reflect on these three things through the Exodus story with reflections on how Jesus was the fuller revelation of all three. So this story reveals that we can be still, for the Lord will fight for you, safe, for the Lord will protect you, and secure, for the Lord will save you. So let's begin with still, the Lord will fight for you. And we pick it up here in verse 13 of chapter 14, where it says, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see now, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." So as we work through this story, it's important to understand the imagery here, that the Egyptians behind them represents Israel's old life, their life of slavery and bondage and oppression, the life the Lord is wanting to free them from. And then on the other side of the sea is new life that awaits them, the promised land, and it's a life of abundance and freedom to worship their God. But between that old life and the new life is an impassable obstacle that no human beings can conquer, the sea. So what will they do? It's kind of the proverbial, they're between a rock and a hard place. But the Lord says here, don't worry about either. I will fight this battle for you. All you need to do is be still and watch. You don't have to fight this one yourself. Trust in me. And we are often just like the Israelites, where we have our past sin and our past life behind us, and we can kind of see those things in the rearview mirror, and they keep coming after us, not wanting to let us go into freedom, into a new life. And sometimes we feel like we can't shake them. We hear the sound of the chariots coming, so to speak. And as we look in front of us, it feels like there's just this wall of water, this impassable and impenetrable barrier between us, this impossible sea to navigate. And we wonder, how can I ever leave behind that old life and start anew? But the good news of the cross is that Jesus says, "I got this one. Let me fight this battle for you. You need only to be still." On our behalf, he goes to the cross. He takes on all of our sin, our past life. He fights all those battles for us, takes on the guilt, the shame, and the punishment that belongs to us. And then through his resurrection, removes the sea, so to speak, in front of us and paves the way for new and eternal life in him. So this morning, if you feel tired from fighting your own battles, fighting sin in this broken world, and you feel sort of trapped almost, like your sins and your past life are haunting you and wondering what the way forward is, the Lord says, "Be still. Let me fight for you. Look to me." And not only will he fight that battle for you, but then he offers his continued protection on the journey. So point number two, that we are safe. The Lord will protect you. Picking it up in verse 19 of our story, it says, "Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went from in front of them to behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. And throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side and light to the other side. So neither went near the other all night long." And the rest of the verses tell us that as they walk between these walls of water, the Lord keeps the Egyptians from them and sends the Egyptian army into confusion. And the message here is that as we step out in faith and begin that journey toward that new life that God calls us too, we might be tempted to look back, to wonder if our old life of bondage will follow us, if our sins will continue on with us. And if we'll still be burdened by those old masters, the way the Egyptians feared. But the Lord, who is traveling with them in this pillar of cloud, he moves behind them and he creates this impenetrable barrier between them and the Egyptians, representing their past life. And it's just such a beautiful picture of what the cross of Christ does for us. That through Jesus' death on the cross, which paid for all of our sins, he wipes away all those past mistakes, and through the cross creates a permanent barrier so that those sins and that life are no more. The Bible says it like this, that as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our sins from us. And east and west can never physically meet. They are separated forever. And that's how far he has removed our sins from us. So the cross of Jesus fights the battle for us. We need only to be still and receive his sacrifice for us. And then he defeats our enemy of sin. And not only that, then he places the cross between us and our old life, like he did with the cloud for the Egyptians. And he protects us as we go forward, that so that all of our attention can now be ahead on the new life that he has ahead of us. And all this is a part of his plan to completely save and rescue us. And so the last point, secure, the Lord will save you. Verses 26 through 30 says, then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, and the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. So more than anything else, Exodus reveals to us that God is a saving God, a God who wipes away the past, saves us from that which oppresses us, and brings us into new life. And the Israelites' past in their slavery is represented, remember, by Egypt. And here it says that God swept them into the sea and they died. And what God did for the Egyptians through the Exodus is what Jesus wants to do for us through the cross and our sins, completely wiping them away, putting them to death, and defeating them on the cross. The prophet Micah says it like this in chapter 7, verse 19, that he hurls our sins into the depths of the sea. So the Exodus reveals a God who will fight for us. He will protect us and ultimately save us. And he does this so we can be still and safe and secure when we're following him. And so here's what I want you to know this morning through this story that reveals so much about who God is. It's that what God did for the Israelites through the Exodus is what he wants to do for you and me through the cross. He wants to fight for you by defeating sin and the plans of the enemy for your life. He wants to protect you through his shed blood on the cross, which creates a permanent barrier between you and those sins. And he ultimately wants to save you from our ultimate enemy, which is death. For as great as the Exodus event is, so much greater is the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, the greater fulfillment of that Exodus, and the leader now of a new Exodus. And as we've already hopefully been making clear, and as others have pointed out, such as David Chadwell, who I'm loosely summarizing here, there is an incredible parallel between the Exodus from Egypt and the cross of Jesus. For just as the Israelites were in bondage to Egypt under an oppressive ruler who made them feel less and less human by exploiting them, so we, without Christ, are under bondage to sin and under the power of Satan, who has nothing but the worst of intentions for us and to destroy us. And just as Israel was powerless to deliver themselves from this situation, so we are powerless to deliver ourselves from sin. But then God, in his mercy, he provided a deliverer for Israel called Moses. And for us, he provides his own son, Jesus. And God then proved his power for Israel by performing signs and wonders in the midst of people and delivered them from Egypt and helped them cross the impassable sea, which led them to the promised land. And so Jesus came and performed signs and wonders, including his resurrection from the grave, which sealed his work on the cross. And he gives us victory over sin, as well as tells us we can pass through the ultimate barrier of death into new and eventual eternal life in him. And most importantly, just as the Exodus was the sign of the undeniable, irrefutable love of God for Israel, so the cross of Jesus for us is God's sign of his undeniable, irrefutable love for his people. This is just who God is, from the Exodus to Easter. He does not change. He is a God who fights for us and protects us and ultimately saves us. But the closing question in all of this is, how will you respond? What will you do? Well, verse 31, the last verse of this chapter story, says, "And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord," meaning they acknowledged him as God, "and put their trust in him and Moses, his servant." As we've seen throughout this series, Jesus is the one greater than Moses, the one Moses pointed to. And so we can replace Moses here with Jesus. So what should be our response? Well, we put our trust in the Lord and in his servant, Jesus. What does this look like? Well, our greatest enemy is death, which is the result in just punishment for our sin. And how can we defeat our inevitable death? Well, the answer is, on our own, we can't. But someone did defeat death for us, and therefore is able to offer us eternal life when we accept his forgiveness on the cross and the gift of new life through his resurrection. So I'm going to ask Hannah, our co-lead pastor, to come and share a closing picture or imagery that she often uses on how Jesus fulfills this scene we see in the Exodus and how it relates to our enemy of death.
So this metaphor is not from Scripture, but I find it helpful to answer the question of, so we all know we're going to die one day. So what does it mean then that Christ has conquered death? And I think this metaphor is helpful. So what it means is that death is not our terrifying final end that it would be without Christ's death and resurrection. So it's kind of like this. Death is like a river, not a pretty river, not a slowly flowing river, but a rushing river, a huge, powerful river that you wouldn't want to step in because it could drown you. And your friends and your family, they can come with you to the brink of the river. They can be with you. They can offer you support, but they cannot go with you any further than that. But if you trust in Jesus, he takes you by the hand through that river safely. And this is not like he stands on the other side and says, "Come to me, I'll be standing here." You know, like when you're a kid and you're standing on the edge of the diving board and your mom's like, "Hey, just jump in, I'll catch you." But you're worried not about that part, you're worried about the in-between part. No, so it's not like that. It's like Jesus is actually taking you by the hand the entire time through the river. You're crossing through the river. You're being tossed about by the current. It's not easy. It's not simple. You see only darkness, but you feel Jesus' hand, and you begin to see light. You begin to see the light of God's glory, the light of his kingdom. You're making it to the other side. And you get up and you're embraced by Jesus. And all of your pain and all of your sorrow and all of your sin, all of your fear just falls away. You're in the presence of God himself, who you've always believed in and you've felt, but now you can really see and touch. And you experience his love like never before in his kingdom of joy. You will fight life's final war with pain, as the song says, but death gives way to victory. Because Christ conquered death, we no longer have to dread it. Isaiah 43 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. So if you're following Jesus as your Lord and you're already holding his hand, you don't just take it at the end, you're already holding his hand through the journey of life and letting him guide you, you can live in hope. You can share that hope with others, many of whom are quietly, privately terrified of death. And this is God's promise in the book of Hosea. He says, I will deliver this people from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. Where, O death, are your plagues? Where, O grave, is your destruction?
So there's only one person who can take us to the other side, who can defeat death and bring us through the waters of death, and that is Jesus Christ. And the way we know it's true is because of what we celebrate today, that he rose from the grave. Nobody else has conquered death except one man, and it's Jesus. And the good news of Easter is that after he rose again, he sent his Spirit among us. And when we receive and accept his forgiveness and invite him into our life, suddenly that same resurrection power dwells in us, so that one day we also will be resurrected. We will overcome death and we will be with him forever and ever. Going to ask that we just close our eyes in a moment of reflection this Easter. The band's going to come up. And I don't know where everyone is this morning, but perhaps for some of you, you feel like the Israelites. You've come up against what looks like an impassable, impossible sea. You look behind you and you see your old life. It's one marked by hardship and sin, and fear of that life continuing to enslave you and attack you paralyzes you, just like it did the Israelites, who could hear the sounds of the chariots coming. And you're wondering, where can I go from here? I don't want to go back to that old life, but there's no clear direction in front of me, just a wall of water and eventually death. And I believe so strongly this morning that Jesus is saying to you, come, take my hands. Let me lead you to the other side. I'll take care of your past, all of your sins and mistakes, and through my death on the cross, which paid for your sins, we'll bury those in the depths of the sea together. I will fight that battle for you, so that you don't have to. And I will protect you as I walk with you to the other side. Satan will come to try to lie to you, deceive you, bring up that past life, but the Lord will put a wall between you and him like he did with the Egyptians. And Jesus will safely lead you to the other side, so there is nothing to fear as long as you're with him. He is with you. And the reality is, I can't really fully explain the miracle, the mystery, the joy of Easter with words. It can really only be experienced when we take that step of faith and reach out to Jesus. We put our trust in him. We invite him to come and be the Savior and Lord of our life. And you don't have to have it all figured out this morning. That will come in time. But you will have to take that first step into that sea on your way to the other side, the life God has for you. And so as we prayerfully reflect right now, if you're wanting to put your faith in Christ, it's important to take some sort of action step. And this is just for you to seal that commitment. Like the Israelites had to walk through the sea. This morning, in a second, I'm going to ask that you would just indicate before God your desire to put your trust in Him and His cross and His resurrection. By in a second, just quickly putting up your hands so that we can affirm and rejoice with you that commitment that you're making. Jesus says in Matthew 10:32, everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. And so this morning you'd be saying, on that day, Lord, I want to be with you. And the way for that to happen is to invite Him into your life now. So if you'd like to take the hand of Jesus this morning, and through His death on the cross and resurrection, have victory over death and eternal life and relationship with Him in the here and now, would you just quickly slip up your hand? And it's just a sign between us. Amen. Praise God. Amen. That you're taking the hand of Jesus and saying, Lord, I want to follow You. God, we thank You. I'm just going to ask that all of us, those who put up their hands, and any of us who have decided to follow Jesus, that whether you're a new believer or just want to reaffirm your faith in Christ, would you just repeat these words with me together? Let's declare this before the Lord. You say, Lord Jesus, fight for me. Take my sins, which are many, and wash them away in the sea of Your mercy. And now lead me into new life, one of freedom to worship You. I now commit to following You, trusting You, and obeying You in my life. You are my God, and I belong to You. Amen. Amen. Can we give God a hand? We say, welcome to the family of God, any and all of you, the forever family. This is your eternal family, and He loves you, and we love you as His people. And so let's close by just singing a song to celebrate all that the Lord has done, the victory we have in Him, that we are now fully alive through Jesus Christ and through His resurrection, that He is bringing us through the sea and through the other side into the life that He has for us. So would you sing and let this final song resound on this Easter morning? Would you stand with me? And let's praise God, the resurrected King, who is already at work resurrecting us and will resurrect us on that final day.